Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we take a look back at the Detroit Lions' Week 10 victory against the LA Chargers. We discuss the Lions' 41-38 victory. We'll touch on what went well, pivotal moments in the game, concerns or takeaways, and any major storylines coming out of this contest. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Corey Schlesinger, and you are listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today by James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast that drops on Mondays. As always, James, good to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
As we get into it, a reminder to the listeners, please hit that subscribe or like button. It is helping us build momentum. And James, this was a game to remember, I think. And well, let's get right to it. Here's what Coach Campbell said when he opened with reporters right after the game.
You do what you have to do to find a way to win. And we did that today. You know, the most important thing for us, man, I wanted us to play fast, physical, and violent, and, man, truly compete. And I did feel that way in all three phases. The offense really stepped up. Defensively, we played really good early, you know, and then they started getting us in a little bit of this no tempo. And we just got to clean up the composure a little bit and get the call, get lined up, and let's just play ball. But that'll all be stuff that we correct. And but, man, it's a good win. We found a way.
I'm just going to say these aren't the same old Lions. I know that's the podcast name and I'm kind of self-plugging it, but 2 years ago, the Lions lose this game, right? Think Baltimore or something like that. Last year against Minnesota, though, a little bit different, the Lions lost that game. But this year, the offense gets the job done when the defense struggled down the stretch. The Lions won 41-38, winning the shootout. Far from perfect, but they got the W. James, what's your immediate reaction?
Yeah, it wasn't perfect, but like you said, a win's a win. You know, the defense left something to be desired. Aside from those that pretty amazing near goal line stand where they stopped what, seven plays in a row, I think, inside
seven
the
five. Seven out of eight plays inside the 10-yard line. Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. The pass interference call was a little questionable. But
weak
is what it is.
Well, yeah, I agree. Well, let's start talking about what we usually do, which is what we liked. And the first thing that jumped out to me was the running game in the first half. David Montgomery had 102 yards. Jahmyr Gibbs, 72 at the half. That's 177 yards total rushing. I think Goff threw in a couple yards, or St. Brown did. That's the most rushing the Lions have had in the first half of a game since 1991. And a key to the rushing in this game was Laporta and Wright. And so that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, they were getting good blocking. The offensive line was just dominating the Chargers in that game. I mean, you didn't hear the names, you know, of Khalil Mack and Bosa hardly at all during that broadcast. And those are their two star defensive players. And they pretty much just X'd them out of the game.
You're exactly right. Actually, Jared Goff talked about the play of the offensive line and how good it was. Here's what he had to say.
They got, you know, Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa are two of the top guys in the game. And we say this all the time, but two of our tackles are two of the top guys in the game. And not only was there no sacks, I don't think I ever got hit. And that doesn't happen against a good D-line like that. And it's a credit to those guys and you know, how good they are. And I think this unit we have now is going to start gelling pretty well and continue to keep going.
So we saw it in Jared Goff's game. He had time to throw the ball. And then we saw what the Lions did running the ball early. Can we talk about that David Montgomery run for a minute, that long touchdown run? What were your thoughts on that?
That was a pretty amazing run. I think that in this game, if they stay healthy, I think Montgomery and Gibbs establish themselves as one of, if not the best, 1-2 punch in the NFL at running back. That play was pretty amazing. I saw one tweet from one of the beat writers where he said that Amon-Ra St. Brown said that he wasn't even supposed to be on the field for that play, and he didn't know what he was supposed to do when Goff, you know, audibled into a run play, but it worked out.
Yeah, actually, here's what St. Brown said right after the game.
Play, even on that one that David had, the 75-yard touchdown, I think, you know, we were in the wrong personnel. I was, it was supposed to be 12, and we were in 11, and so we called the play. I was like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing on this play. Like, this is not, I'm not supposed to be in. So I look at Jared, he checks it. He's like, you know what, let's just check it to a run. Everyone relax. He checks it, and David goes for 75 yards. So it just shows you the ability that we have as an offense. I mean, we can explode at any point, and that's what I think makes – I mean, that's why I'm so excited to be a part of this team, because there's guys on, you know, every level that can make plays.
So, yeah, they were in a pass formation, or they were supposed to be, and they didn't have the right personnel there. It was supposed to be a tight end or something, but it worked out. And I looked at that, and I look at – take a couple takeaways. One, that's just amazing that the offense could make something like that work in that situation. But – that was a 75-yard touchdown run by David Montgomery. And I think most people think Jahmyr Gibbs is the guy with the speed. And so that's just that much more impressive. But do you know the last time the Lions had a run that long?
It's been a long time. I saw it during the game. I can't remember what it was, 2011 or something like that.
Yeah, so I did a little research. Yeah, 2011, you're exactly right, is the last time they had one longer than that. That was Javid Best, an 88-yard run. More recently, Kerryon Johnson back in 2018 had a 71-yarder. And then I just wanted to point out the last two running backs. Jamal Williams had a 58-yarder last year, and DeAndre Swift had a 57-yarder the year before. So I think that just should put into the center, the spotlight, if you will, how big of a deal it was for a 75-yard touchdown run from a Detroit Lions running back.
Yeah, and from David Montgomery. I mean, you normally think of him as the between the tackles, picking up a lot of yardage guy, but not the 75-yard touchdown run guy. And that move that he made when he went up the middle and then just froze the defense and cut to the outside, that was just amazing.
It was. And, you know, I'm not saying this just to compliment Jamison Williams and say, oh, let's compliment his blocking because he's not done as well in the passing game. But his speed and the position he was able to get in for that block halfway down the field is what allowed this play to finish.
Yeah, he did catch both of his targets today. So, you know, he did what was asked of him, I guess, in this game. You know, he not big numbers or anything like that, but didn't drop a pass.
And all those passes weren't exactly perfect to him either, those two passes. So, and you know what? He would have had a touchdown if it wasn't for another interesting penalty call on the Lions. I guess Taylor Decker went low, but it looks like he didn't even touch the guy. So I don't know, but happy with the way Williams played and thrilled about that run by David Montgomery. And that wasn't the only run about David Montgomery. How about fourth down and six and you run the ball? And you know who else helped with that running game was Sam Laporta and Brock Wright, the tight ends. They did some great pushing. They did some great blocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that setup, you know, Brock Wright has kind of been questioned about his blocking this season a little bit. But his blocking early in that game, I think, helped set up that one touchdown later, you know, where they used him as a blocking decoy and then sent him out for that touchdown.
Yeah, that was awesome. That actually gets me to the next thing I kind of want to talk about here, which is the coaching and going for it on fourth down. Here's Coach Campbell talking about going for it on fourth down during that final drive.
Yeah, I wanted to finish with the ball. And so, you know, I trusted our guys and trust golf. Going into that situation, you know, if you don't, there's going to be a lot of time left. You know, you kick a field goal. You know, so I wanted to finish with the ball in our hands. I liked where we were at offensively. We're playing good. Golf was in a good spot. And I felt like that was the right thing to do.
So, James, before we talk about all the other fourth down plays, what were your thoughts as you're watching that? It's like fourth down. The Lions have 2 yards to go. There's a minute 45 or something like that left on the clock. What were you thinking?
I totally got why he did it, because, you know, he didn't want to, you know, even kick a field goal that time. If it's good, then you're giving them 2 minutes almost. And your defense has not stopped them in five drives. You know, San Diego, or keep saying San Diego, the LA Chargers. LA Chargers had scored touchdowns on five straight possessions. So keeping the ball out of their hands was the best defense right there. And going for it on that, it was, I think, warranted. And then he was able to just run the time off the clock and kick the field goal as time expired.
And that was an impressive play call as well, because that was not an easy pass for Sam Laporta to catch. And that man just came up with some big catches and some big time moments. And so I agree with you. The way the Lions defense could not stop the passing game of the Chargers, that played everything more into it. Now, if we back up to earlier in the game, the Lions tried it inside the 2-yard line and it didn't work, right? They went for it on fourth and goal. But then they got to the same spot later on, and it was fourth and goal, and that time they went for it, and that's when, I believe it was Gibbs, got in for the touchdown. And I thought that was vital, going for it that second time and getting it, because you didn't want to settle for 3 points in two trips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if they settle for field goals in the two trips, they get 6 points. If they get one out of the two on going for it on fourth down, they got 7. So
I like that math. And then you also talked about Brock right on that fourth down play. I mean, that was incredible, because I didn't see that coming. Everybody thought it was David Montgomery up the middle, right?
Yeah, that's what they were counting on, the Chargers counting on as well. And they totally bit for it. And Brock Wright just, and that was a great throw too by Goff. I mean, he just floated that in there perfectly, hit right in stride, which was important that he could just keep going and couldn't get chased down. That was just a beautiful pass.
I echo that sentiment completely. You could not have thrown that ball any better. Nobody could have. Such a great throw, such a great play. Kind of fitting that number 89 made a big play, if you're kind of giving an ode back to Dan Campbell there. But at the end of the game, the Lions were 4 for 5 on fourth downs. That's pretty amazing. Let's talk about perhaps the best pass catcher for the Detroit Lions, and that's Amon-Ra St. Brown. Here's Coach Campbell talking about him after the game.
He just continues to make plays. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. I mean, he is the most steady, reliable guy that you can find in this league. I mean, I'd love to know somebody that is more reliable than him, because I don't know if there is. So he just does what he's supposed to do times 10. And he's productive. He's tough. He's physical. He's a game-changing type player. It's just, you know, the bigger the moment, the bigger he shows up. It's just, you know, you talk about that word trust. There's a tremendous amount of trust for him in him and what he's able to do. And golf has a ton of trust in him as well.
James, his stats, as we are able to look up, are 8 catches, 156 yards, and a touchdown. The dude is clutch. And I think in one of our recent episodes, I just said, well, Amon-Ra St. Brown does what he does. But it almost feels like we just don't give him enough credit sometimes. I mean, did you hear that after that Raiders game when they talked to him, he apparently had an illness or something? So he was playing with blisters in that game, and he played anyway. And the guy just shows up. He makes clutch catches and clutch moments, and it happened all around the field today for him.
Yeah, whenever they needed to play. And he ran 2 times. I think one of them was for a first down on some reverses. So, I mean, he was just everywhere. And right there when they needed him. You know, the other one that was really big, I think, was that catch by Khalif Raymond that started off that one drive, and really kind of kicked it into gear when they really needed to match the Chargers with a touchdown.
Yeah, that was like a short pass, and then it went like 40 yards.
Yeah, 41.
Yeah, that you got contributions from all different people, you know, whether it was two catches, one catch, four catches. I think Brock Wright, they had said it was, hey, when your number gets called, make the play. And so I thought that was great. Another guy, I'm just give a shout out to Jake McQuaid. I mean, the long snapper who joined the team during the bye week, never heard his name called once, right? All the special team stuff went well. So he got the job done. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then, I mean, obviously it was nice to have Montgomery back, but I think getting Ragnow back, having, you know, Jonah Jackson healthy, having Graham Glasgow having apparently beat out Vitae for the other guard spot. I mean, Vitae was a healthy scratch today. Yeah, they went into the game with Sorsdahl and Awosika as the backup lineman, well, and skipper, and Vitae as a healthy scratch.
What do you make of that?
I'm wondering if maybe his injury isn't 100% healed or something, but it's not bad enough that they think they have to put him on IR, or just plain Graham Glasgow has beaten him out. But I would still even think then he was having, if Glasgow just has beaten him out, you still have him on the game day roster because he's versatile. He can play tackle and guard. So that would be perfect for one of your backup linemen.
Yeah. And, or maybe they're just managing him right now to knowing that they have the flexibility that, hey, let's get this guy up to that 100% health if he's not quite there. So you might have him if you need him in a more pivotal time later on. I guess one last thing to talk about for the liking thing. I mean, I already kind of talked about the coaching, and we'll talk about that some more, but let's give Riley Patterson some credit. The guy hit a 41-yard game-winning field goal. And, you know, I keep going back to this guy and I keep saying, I like him. I'm rooting for him. I still remember where I was when you and I were texting about the kicker moves in the off season and that the Lions had traded for him. And I hope he's in Detroit for a long time. I know he missed that 26-yarder against the Raiders, and that caused some angst, but he's now 87% on the year. He's a solid kicker, and he's probably better than half the kickers out there. And I'm just throwing that number out there. I have no idea. All I can say is I'm happy with the guy. He's younger, and it seems he's gaining the trust of his coach to go for some longer field goals, and I'm happy with the return right now, and I just hope he keeps trending in that trajectory. And maybe it's because I remember how the Lions kicking game was not too long ago, and I don't want to go back to that.
Yeah, no one wants to go back to Austin Seibert.
Or the two or three other guys we had right around then.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about what we didn't like or a concern. I guess my first concern would be 4 for 13 on third down efficiency. That's what required us to be 4 of 5 on fourth down. And so that number, that wasn't a very good thing.
Yeah, and conversely, the defense couldn't get stops on fourth down. When the Chargers went for it on fourth, they were 3 for 3. And not only 3 for 3 with 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, those were crucial, almost back-breaking, but they weren't back-breaking, but they felt like they could have been back-breaking moments when they did that, right? On that fourth down, you've held them. I mean, that almost goal line stand when we threw everything in the kitchen sink at them and would not let them run. We're like, sorry, you are not Philadelphia. You are not shoving anybody in here. And then we even stopped Eckler, but the passing game, the pass defense. The defense was decent early in the game. I mean, that was an amazing interception by Kirby Joseph. In the first quarter, they were pretty solid, but after that, they struggled. I think after the game in the postgame show, Lomas Brown even said defense was optional today in this game.
Yeah, well, yeah, 41-38 certainly says that. But both of the offenses were incredibly efficient. I mean, aside from that, you know, great interception by Kirby Joseph, who they called carry on TV when he made the interception. Neither team turned the ball over. You had a pretty flawless game on offense by both teams outside of that one interception, which was a great play to get that one interception.
Oh, for sure. The way he got that second foot down in bounds as well was incredible. Now, as I'm watching this game, I mean, you know, we're in the third quarter. The third quarter didn't look all that great the way we come out and then they score. And I started feeling like I was watching the Seattle game all over again. I mean, we held the Chargers to 98 yards rushing, but we gave up so many passing yards in this game that for a little while I was like, this is like the Seattle game all over. Let's hope it doesn't end like the Seattle game. Did you have any of that feeling?
Yeah, when the Lions just couldn't get stops. And every time the Lions would score a touchdown to go ahead, the Chargers would match it. You just felt like they wouldn't go away. And you were like, oh man, this is one mistake away from totally blowing up. And then the Lions never made that mistake. You know, they allowed zero sacks on the day. Neither did the Chargers. There was no sacks in this game whatsoever, which is odd considering, you know, you've got Bosa and Khalil Mack and Aiden Hutchinson in this game. But both offensive lines played pretty well. That efficiency and not making any mistakes, I think, is what really helped the Lions pull this one out.
I would agree with that. I think if we transition to pivotal moments, I think Jahmyr Gibbs getting that touchdown on fourth and goal, that was pivotal. And another thing that I think was pivotal is you kind of just brought it up. Every time the Chargers scored, the Lions responded. They answered. They never trailed in this game. I know the Lions would go up and the Chargers would come back, but the Lions always responded to every score, and that was big.
Yeah, I like that they never were behind in this game. They took charge early in the game on the road. And even Brandon Staley, I think in his halftime interview said that he's like, they came out with better energy at the beginning of the game than we did. And you know, when it was 24-10, I was feeling real good.
So was I,
but then you had five straight touchdown drives, by the Chargers. And, you know, I mean, but, you know, give the Chargers some credit. I mean, Justin Herbert is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. When healthy, Keenan Allen is one of the best receivers in the NFL. Their complete inability to stop him was a little troubling. But, I mean, when he's healthy, man, he's one of the best in the NFL.
Well, we talked about that beforehand. You know, they might have been 4-4 coming into this game, but they have a very talented team. And so I think the record doesn't indicate how good of a team they have. And it was going to be a test. And I didn't care if we won by 1 point or 12 points, whatever. I just wanted the victory. And things weren't perfect, but they were perfect enough on offense and on special teams for us to get the win. So I guess let's look at the major storylines coming out of this. You know, there is that concern about the pass defense. Our rush defense was good as far as stopping the run, getting pressure on Herbert. We did that a few times, but he always got away from us. We couldn't wrap him up. Like you said, for a sack, even when we got around their offensive lineman, we couldn't get him. And he is an elite quarterback, but we had him on the ropes a few times, but him and Keenan Allen, they found their way in this game. And so that's an area where, you know, I guess you hope to see some progress from the Lions over the coming weeks in these situations.
Yeah, you hope so. I mean, you know, that time when they just couldn't get a sack on him and Herbert busted free and ran for a first down. I mean, he's not necessarily that kind of a threat usually running the ball, but I mean, he looked pretty good on that run. And they had so much pressure on him there. It was just like you felt there was a sack coming there, and then he just escaped and got out and then ran for the first down.
Now, the other thing is the Lions aren't going to face another quarterback of this caliber for like their next five games because they got the Bears, Packers, Saints, and Bears. The next time they face one will be when they play the Broncos against Russell Wilson. And so, you know, the hope is they continue to grow and that when they play Russell Wilson later this season, or you play the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott, that we see some growth and some adjustments that they're able to do better against the high-end quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you hope so. One of my other worries is, and this isn't even Lions related really, is that the Vikings don't look bad with Josh Dobbs at quarterback. Like they're not going away.
No, that's one of the other major storylines here is, you know, Dobbs is a player who plays to win, and he plays with some intensity. And they are now 6-4. The Vikings are. The Lions are 7-2. The Vikings are on a 5-game winning streak, and they're not going to go away. I mean, I remember seeing Dobbs play a little bit last year. I remember when they got him off the Lions squad before that from the practice squad. He's a football player, and the Vikings have some talented pieces on offense, and he's finding ways to connect with those guys. Oh, and Justin Jefferson's not even in there. So you're right. The Vikings are not going away, and that's what made this win just that much more important.
Because Dobbs is playing well. They're going to get Justin Jefferson back here probably next week, I think, if not the week after that. I mean, they opened up his practice window. He practiced a couple of times this week, but they didn't play him this week. I expect him to play next week. And that's a huge addition for them, too. I mean, they've been playing well enough.
Now, James, another interesting storyline or moment in this game, I guess, could you say, would be the halftime adjustments. I mean, the Lions ran for 175 yards in the first half, but only ran for like 25 in the second half. Now, I know Goff threw for 200 in the second half and only 130 in the first half, but it seems like the Lions maybe went to the pass because the run wasn't quite there as much.
Yeah, you saw the Chargers change their defense and go with that that five-man front with five defensive linemen up front and to just clog those lanes and try to take the run game away. It's not a defense that you see a whole lot anymore, especially outside of goal line situations. And they were just playing it pretty regularly there in the second half. And it did take those lanes away. And, you know, hopefully this is not something that other teams start using as a game plan for how to stop Montgomery and Gibbs.
Well, fortunately for us, if they do try to shut down Montgomery and Gibbs, we have a very accurate quarterback in Jared Goff. If I'm not mistaken, he is now the most accurate quarterback in Detroit Lions history with a minimum of like 500 pass attempts. And we've got guys like Laporta and St. Brown who just seem to catch almost everything thrown their way.
Yeah, for sure. Those guys just seem, they're like vacuum cleaners. One of the things that that frustrated me to no end during this game was when the Lions were on defense, Aiden Hutchinson being just mugged over and over and over again and not getting a call on it. I mean, there was a couple of holdings on him that were blatant, and there was a hands to the face. Like there was a blatant, like just the guy, the lineman had his arm around his neck. And then the very next play, the lineman got his hands right up in his face mask and hit him in the face. And that should have been illegal, hands to the face. And none of that's getting called. It's like, how long is this going to keep going on? Because it's been going on all season.
I saw that one with the arm up around his neck play. I remember that. I'm like, why are they not calling that? And I've heard a lot of people echo the same things you're saying right now.
Yeah. And that one was a big pass play, as they're called. It was a, Herbert stepped up in the pocket a little bit there and then fired one right down the middle for like a big, like 30-yard gain. Whereas that should have been a 10-yard penalty.
For sure. Well, James, it feels great getting the win out of the bye, winning a shootout game, not something the Lions have been in too many of. And it's kind of like, hey, this is what it would have been like to win the Seattle game. But the Lions escape with a victory. They are heading home. They'll play the Bears, and then we'll get ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and they can hopefully keep it going against the Bears. I mean, it looks like the Bears will have Justin Fields for that game. So, you know, that's something that certainly changes the dynamic of that game. But and the Bears haven't been playing horrible. They've been sticking around in games. So, you know, the Lions can't overlook this game at all on the schedule.
Oh, I agree completely. And it's a divisional game. So it's one more game that can help you get closer to your first goal, which is winning the division and getting a home playoff game. James, thanks so much for joining the show as you usually do and talking Lions. And it's always fun to do it after a victory.
Yeah. Especially after a win.
Yes.
2 weeks ago, not as great.
And thank you folks so much for tuning in. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about the show and subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.